podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Perpetual Chess. We've got more FIDE candidates bonus coverage coming at you right now. I'm recording this 10 p.m. New York City time, Monday night, April 15th. It continues to be a very entertaining FIDE candidates tournament. It is crowded at the top, especially in the open section, but in the women's section as well. So as we did with the last pair of candidates pods, this will just be a brief news rundown. I will share a few observations of my own, but I wanted to get something out tonight heading into the penultimate rest day. And then we will get more comprehensive coverage with a legend of the game. Tomorrow I'm scheduled to interview Dutch champion, former candidate himself, Jan Timman. And barring any technical difficulties, we'll be sharing an interview on the feed with the legend in about 12 hours from this one. So this one will just be my brief observations. Also wanted to mention, we're still continuing with the regular Perpetual Chess pods. So tomorrow, for those of you into chess history, there's a fun interview dropping with Lou Hayes, who published the 21st Century My System, which sold tons and tons of copies and talks about the chess publishing business. But the main attraction of these Lou Hayes interviews is he met and spent a bunch of time with Fisher and Spassky. So that interview was already recorded, has nothing to do with the candidates, but it's a lot of fun for those of you who just like hearing stories about the legends of the chess world. Now, so onto the main event, onto this tournament. As a lot of you listening may know, Nepo and Gukesh remain tied for first. They're both playing the best chess by far, in my opinion. Today, of course, they clashed. They played. Gukesh had the black pieces against Nepo. Some were expecting Nepo, with his vast experience and his tremendous opening prep, maybe to put some pressure on the 17-year-old Indian kid. But Gukesh just remains unflappable. Obviously, when I last left you guys, he had just had that devastating loss to Faruja. But he showed tremendous resilience, has bounced back, just rolled off his back. And today, you know, biggest game of his chess career. And he plays the Cozio Roy Lopez, like not even highly theoretically regarded opening, and just effortlessly holds down Nepo with black. So the two of them are tied for first again, heading into the rest day after round 10. But the real action in the open section was just beneath them, as both Hikaru and Fabiano picked themselves up and won their games today. So they, along with Prague, now all have 5.5 points. So that's Gukesh and Nepo with 6 up top, Prague, Hikaru, and Fabiano with 5.5 right behind them. Both games were like, they weren't going to win any beauty contests. You know, both players missed some opportunities earlier and basically wore down their opponents. Fabiano managed to beat Faruja, which there's a lot going on with Faruja. We'll get into that. And Hikaru wore down Abasov and finally tricked him towards the end. So I feel like for Hikaru, this was a bounce back because he just lost to Vidit for the second time yesterday. So just when it looked like you could begin to think about counting him out, he comes right back and enters right back into the fray. So we've got 6 of the 8 players within 0.5 point of each other. And then we have the other 2 players, Abasov and Faruja, mathematically eliminated. So it's going to make for some pretty interesting chess. And the women's section is almost as tightly contested as that. Although, in my opinion, the two leaders in the women's section, there's a couple differences. Number one, they have a full point lead instead of a 0.5 point. And number two, they're really showing strong form. So Lei Ting-jae and Tan Zhongyi, both with 6.5, and Goryachkina and Lagno, both with 5.5. Humpy Canero has 4.5, Salamova and Muzichuk with 4, and Vaishali with 3.5. But in my opinion, the top two are going to be hard to bring down with a point lead and playing the best chess. Although Lei Ting-jae had a bit of a topsy-turvy game. Now, in the open section, just to give you a bit more data, I wanted to give a shout out to Caleb Weatherall on Chess Reddit, who's been updating his ELO-based model. Win probabilities when you combine the priors of their ratings with their updated scores. So Nepo's around 31%, according to a model like this. Gukesh, 24. Fabiano, 16. Naka, 15. Prague, 9.8. Vidit, 2.1. which he's only a point back. Faruja and Abbasov, again, with 0% chance at this point. And shout out to Chess by the Numbers, who had not yet updated his model at the time I started recording this, but did share that I believe it was a 36% chance of tiebreak at this point. There's a very good chance that come April 22nd, we'll be pretty entertained with free chess, bonus chess. So the drama continues to unfold. So we've got a rest day coming tomorrow. And then the day after the rest day, of the six people in contention in the open, they all play each other. Abbasov plays Faruja. Both of them are kind of licking their wounds at this point. But meanwhile, we've got a lot of tangles that could shake things up at the top. So it's been a lot of fun. Like I said, today I felt like fatigue is starting to creep in a little bit, but setting up to be a very entertaining final four rounds of the FIDE candidates. A few other observations to share as the tournament continues to take shape. These are just my opinions, but to me, Gukesh, relative to expectations going in, Gukesh has been the most impressive. I mean, to have a setback like he did against Faruja and to bounce back like that, and then today to just like effortlessly hold off Nepo, again, major props to him. It seems like no moment is too big for him, even at 17 years of age. He has this preternatural cool. So you can't discount him at this point. He seems like he belongs here. As I mentioned, players are starting to look tired. Again, we do have a rest day tomorrow, so that could make a difference. But we're also reaching a point in the tournament where the players who are eliminated, it's not just like I'm having a bad tournament and I can hope to play well and have a miracle. The miracle's already gone. So it's going to be even more challenging, I think, for them to play level-headed chess, which, again, could lead to shakeups in the standings. Obviously, with Faruja in particular, with all that's going on, there's a lot that could happen. So I guess we might as well briefly touch on the Faruja story. So they're already calling it Shoegate, even though there already was a Shoegate. Only in the chess world could there be multiple Shoegates within less than a year. But this one, I'm fairly sympathetic to FIDE from the information I have gathered. There's a lot of stuff on Chess Reddit. Shout out to them, as always, if anyone wants to dig deeper. But basically, the long and short of it is during round nine, an arbiter came up, the chief arbiter came up to Faruja and asked for him to try to walk more quietly. And Faruja complained about this after the round. No one noticed it really during the round, but after the round, Faruja took to Twitter and tweeted, "Shameful action by the chief arbiter Margitis towards me during the game, middle of the game in the most intense moment when I was walking during Jan's move. He came up to me and told me not to walk anymore because my shoe is making noise on the floor." And then he continued, "He told me not to walk and bring new shoes for tomorrow, but I have the formal shoe that is approved and I'm wearing it for more than 1 year. This was a big distraction for me during the game and I completely lost my focus. I told one of the organizers this arbiter needs to be punished. Honestly, all these unprofessional things are happening to me in almost every tournament and it's really taking me to the point of execution," or something like that. But the arbiter gave an interview to chess.com's Mike Klein, gave a very reasonable explanation, explained that Abbasov himself had complained to him about the noise. So it was kind of unavoidable. And he had noticed it even prior to that. And actually, Chessbase India posted audio of the walking, and it's extremely loud, I have to say. So the arbiter, I thought, gave a very reasonable explanation. It didn't sound like he overstepped. He waited for the right moment to talk to him. So, you know, obviously, when called for, I'm willing to call out organizers for not handling things the right way. But in this case, from everything I'd seen, you have to serve all the players, as the arbiter said. So, you know, Fruzio's only 20 years of age, and his dad came to the hall today, and there was a big to-do. So there's a lot going on there. I'm sure it's very stressful. This tournament has not gone the way he wanted. So as always, hoping that he can pick himself up and bounce back, because obviously he is an otherworldly chess talent, irrespective of the results in this tournament. So that's all I really have for you. Again, really thinking the top four look very strong. They're playing the most consistent, the top two in the open and the top two in the women's, but it's close enough and volatile enough where we certainly can't rule out some shakeups, and obviously we've got a lot of very capable players near the top. So shaping up to be very entertaining. The programming plan for Perpetual Chess is we will be back with more coverage on Friday. I'm not sure yet if I'm going to do it in like one the night before and one Thursday night and one Friday day, whether I will just wait and drop something on Friday. But my next interview after Jan Timman about the candidates is on Friday. Hoping to corral Mike Klein himself, who's been involved in all this drama. I hope you guys are enjoying it. If you haven't been tuning in regularly yet, you certainly want to keep an eye on the standings because things are shaping up. I was worried after the last rest day that Nepo was going to win in a walk, but after yesterday's long game with Abasov, like heroically defending a tough endgame to hang on, he kept the tournament in balance. Now it's wide open. So should be entertaining. Again, be back tomorrow with an interview with Jan Timman. Catch you all then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.